The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
The event itself might be called almost the birthday of the modern world, because it was on that day that the forces of good and evil seemed to reach their peak. Our modern world, with its great crises, began on the date of October 13th, 1917. There's a little village in Fatima where three little children, Maria, Jacinta, and Francis, were gathered expecting a revelation. They had said that Mary, the mother of God, had appeared to them. The Lord came through her. Through her, he worked his first miracle. And then from the cross, he commended us all to her with his kind words, "Behold thy mother."
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
All right, that is the late, great Archbishop Fulton Sheen talking once on the apparitions of Fatima. And, you know, His Excellency, of course, spoke a lot about communism in his day. And, you know, I just, this today, October 13th, is what, the 104th anniversary of these apparitions? I can't believe that. The miracle of the sun ended the public apparitions of Fatima. But the secret prophecies, the secrets that were given to the children, remained unannounced and hidden by the public for decades, really almost a century. It would be John Paul II who in the year 2000 revealed the third secret of Fatima. But the principal focus of the secrets was its worldwide focus on the coming victory of Our Lady over the evil one, right? She says, "In the end, my immaculate heart will triumph." She talks about a period of peace. She talks about the conversion of Russia. And as I say today, look, the prayer of the rosary, and you can pray with Father Rocky every evening here, that rosary, but we should be praying for the conversion, not only of our leadership and our country here, but we should be praying for Kim Jong-un. We should be praying for Xi Jinping, the leader of China, for Vladimir Putin in Russia. We should be praying for those all over the world. We should be praying for peace, because that's what the rosary brings about. That's what this message was. Our Lady came under that title, Our Lady, the Most Holy Rosary. And Our Lady in Fatima, she gave lots of warnings. She said, more souls go to hell because of sins of the flesh, the misuse of their sexuality, than any other reason. And that's so easily forgiven through the power of confession. If you struggle with that, get to the confessional. The Virgin also said that certain fashions will be introduced in the future that will greatly offend our Lord. Priests have got to be pure. They must concern themselves with the church and souls. You know, she foretold of wars. You know, she said, here's something very interesting. I remember, I think it was Lucia that had mentioned this, that wars are actually punishment for sin. All right? Wars are actually punishment for sin. And I don't mean to go too off tangent here. Terrence McKeegan is going to be stopping by. I want to get him on the air here. I just think of how immoral this nation has become. I take a look at the Equality Act and what that is advancing. I take a look at our government officials threatening to throw the full weight of the federal government against the state of Texas and doing everything they can, governors and state legislatures, to enshrine abortion in this country. That calls upon the justice of God, doesn't it? You take a look at the redefinition of marriage, the indoctrination of our kids. I go through the whole litany of things. You hear me talk about it all the time. But what's the fruit of it? Mother Teresa said the fruit of abortion is nuclear war. Our Lady in Fatima talking about war as being a punishment for sin. How sinful have we become? Our Lady said, tell everybody that God gives grace through the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Tell them to ask for those graces, right? And in Fatima, the other aspect here very quickly was penance. Something I don't like to do, right? I'm sure you don't either, but it's powerful. It's important. Our Lady said the penance is necessary. In the third secret of Fatima, we have this angel with a flaming sword. And what's he cry out to the kids? Three times he shouts the words, penance, penance, penance. You know, Our Lady said, if people will amend their lives, our Lord will yet save the world. But if not, a great punishment will come to it. Years later, in 1973, I had the privilege of meeting a nun in a place called Akita, Japan. I was there with a film crew. I was in my early 20s. And she shared with me her own vision. She had a prophecy that was given to her about a certain chastisement that would befall the world if we did not amend our lives. That's a church-approved apparition as well. But if you're just joining me, today we celebrate the great miracle of the sun at Fatima, and it's not a feast day in the general calendar, But it is the 104th anniversary of the final apparition of Our Lady to these three children in that small town in Fatima, Portugal. And it took the world by storm. The final apparition was highly anticipated because Our Lady told the children she would perform a miracle and that everyone would see it. I mean, how cool is that? So what happens, right? People came from everywhere. There was the media. They had the newspapers and photographers. You should see the photos from this day, right? People from all over came. The apparition started months earlier, May 13th of that year, 1917. Nobody believed the kids were receiving anything. The kids were telling stories. You have Lucia, Francisco, and Jacinta, right? They were ridiculed, told by their parents, tell the kids to stop lying, you know? And at the time, if you know your history, Portugal was on the verge of becoming an atheistic state, and secular authorities there had no use for what they considered nonsensical faith, the faith of these peasants, and they tried to shut this down. So the secular authorities questioned the children, even threatened to torture them, boil them in oil, you know, which thankfully, you know, the kids survived, and that was by the grace of God. But the children said that Our Lady, she told them, Our Lady promised a miracle on her very last visit. And they estimate anywhere from 70 to 100,000 people were present in the COVID era that day, including very secular journalists. Thank God they were there because they photographed a lot of what went down. And it was documented in newspapers. It's one of the great miracles of the 20th century, and one today that still, I think, has pertinence and reverberates in our own day. I've asked Terrence McKeegan to stop by again. He is an attorney. He served at the time as a lawyer for the Holy See's mission to the United Nations in New York, but he is also an expert on Fatima. And this is a passion of him. I just saw a great PowerPoint presentation that he gave a little bit earlier today. And I said, look, you got to stop by. Let's talk the third secret of let's talk the great miracle of the sun in this anniversary today. So he joins me once again. Terrence, great to have you back. Good afternoon.
Truly, thanks for having me on.
So you go by Terrence or Terry? I always call you by your official name, but is
either
Terrence
one is
or
fine.
Terry? Really? Okay. I always want to be respectful, and whatever name you go by, I want to call you by. But good to have you here. I'll call you Terrence for now because that's what I've been calling you. But let's talk Fatima. First of all, I'm curious, how did you get involved in all this? I mean, this is such a powerful and beautiful apparition, and it's been an ongoing story. Sister Lucia once said that we're only in the third day of the Fatima week, so that means this story is still playing out. But I love your story. How'd you get involved? And maybe give us some insight into what you see as a relevance of Fatima today.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about Fatima is every time we think we know what it is about, we learn something new. And for me, I think it was working in international public policy and at the UN and with the Vatican, and just seeing that so many of the events of the last century and what's going on to this very day have all these tie-ins to Our Lady of Fatima, the messages there, the secrets, what was going on at the time. And I think so it's not just interesting to me in a professional way and, you know, as far as geopolitical events, but also Our Lady of Fatima gave us the plan and the solution to what the modern world is and all the problems of the modern world. It gives us this clear plan that is still as relevant as ever for us to follow.
Hey, give me your take on the events of this day. This is the final apparition. And what I found so cool about this is not only did Our Lady appear, and she's, of course, she can only be seen by the eyes of the seers, but St. Joseph appears in this vision, right? Our Lady comes. I think believe she's holding the child Jesus in her arm. She had the scapular. She came as Our Lady of the Most Holy Rosary. And even though the people present didn't see the Virgin, they encountered really what I just think is a preternatural event, some sort of supernatural event where God, I don't think the sun moved. That's my personal take on this because, you know, no astronomical observatory anywhere on the planet noted a deviation in the sun. Yet these people described a ball of fire, a mini sun, some real event that just threw off heat and created terror and fear for some. Had a definitive effect on reality. The ground they stood on dried instantly. Their clothes dried instantly. Then it reverted back to its normal position. I'd love your thoughts on what happened this day and the significance of not just Our Lady, but St. Joseph and this event. What's it portend for the future? What was heaven communicating?
Yeah, first, I think we can say somewhat definitively that the miracle of the sun is the greatest public miracle in the history of the world since the time of Christ. And that might seem pretty extreme, but when you look at the fact that so many people witness this miracle, and then just how supernatural and unbelievable this miracle was, where the sun, in the words of the atheistic writers and photographers, they said the sun appeared to leave its firmament, and it zigzagged down, and it got so close to the ground that everyone was fearful for their life. I mean, this is at least on the level, if not higher than, the parting of the Red Sea. And this happened, you know, in the last century. It was witnessed by both Catholics and secular people who attest to it. It's been, you know, people there that, as they were witnessing the sun, this miracle, have been photographed. We have these photographs. So, you know, I think one of the things that's really important about the miracle of the sun is that so many people now have lost their belief in God, but even many Catholics have fallen into thinking that God is maybe removed from our lives and he's kind of sitting out on the sidelines. And what I think the message of Our Lady of Fatima and the miracle of the sun is that God is very much involved in human affairs and sends Our Lady to not just help us, but to warn us of what is to come. And, you know, you see these predictions of not just the end of the First World War, but the coming of the Second World War, the advance of atheistic communism around the world, and all these other things, you know. No one can claim that looks at Fatima that God is removed from our life. He very much cares for us, and I think that's one of the biggest takeaways of the miracle and Our Lady of Fatima.
So what do you make of the event that took place, though? What's your theory on that? It had a definitive effect on reality, as I point out, yet no astronomical observatory notices any deviation. I think that was meant for just the people there. As I said, in a 15-mile radius, it was reported to have a definite effect. What do you make of that? And was it a portent of things to come? And I know you're familiar also with the key to Japan, because Our Lady began giving revelations to a nun by the name of Sister Agnes Sasagawa in the 1970s. A statue there had wept 101 times. And it took Japan by storm. The media was all over this. Our Lady's, Agnes's guardian angel would appear to her. And Our Lady told her that a great fire would fall from the sky. A large part of humanity would be annihilated. And this would happen unless the world repented, unless they amended their lives. It's the same message that came out of Fatima. It's almost like a continuation of Fatima. We see this thread there. What do you think the miracle of the sun was an indicator of? It was also, some could argue, hey, this is 1917, the Bolshevik Revolution's going on, World War I is coming to an end, a great war is going to follow the Second World War, and the atomic age is about to take place. It's very possible that we could see nuclear conflagration at some point in the future with the Cuban Missile Crisis and, you know, what we saw later in the 20th century. Maybe that had something to do with what happens if we reject God. And, you know, we might bring this chastisement down by our own hand. Love your thought on that.
Yeah, so you mentioned the Bolshevik Revolution, and most people to this day still don't know that Leon Trotsky, the leader of the Bolsheviks, stated that he put the beginning of the October Revolution, which brought the communists into power in Russia, he put it on the day of October 13th, 1917. So the very day of the miracle of the sun is the day that the leaders of the Bolsheviks say communists took over power in Russia. So that's, of course, very, very notable. And that gives us a sense of why the miracle of the sun happened when it did. But we can also look at, you know, there's you have to look at the context of what was going on in Portugal and what's going on with the Pope and World War One. So the Pope at the time is Benedict XV, and he makes repeated pleas to the world leaders for peace, and these fall on deaf ears. So he finally decides to appeal directly to Our Lady for assistance. So he publishes a pastoral letter on May 4th, 1917. Exactly 9 days later, Our Lady first appears in Fatima. So this was, of course, a direct response to the appeal from the Pope. And, you know, we see the tie-in to the end of the war with Fatima. But then we also need to look at Portugal. And you mentioned an atheistic government. In fact, the government from 1910 in Portugal was run by Freemasons. And it was not just atheistic. It was so anti-Catholic that they killed thousands of priests, nuns, and monks, seized many of the Catholic churches and schools, and sent all the Catholic bishops into exile. Yeah. So it was a pretty bleak situation for Catholics and the church in Portugal at the time Our Lady appeared.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I love history. I love what all this brings about. If you want to join us, I only have Terrence for a short period, but you can dial in 888-914-9149. I'll go and I'll grab your calls in just a second here. You know, during this particular vision too, and I was just thinking of the fact that St. Joseph, this is a year that we have dedicated to St. Joseph, what an important figure he is for the church. During the vision of October 13th, the children saw St. Joseph carrying the infant Jesus, and both were dressed in red. Both were blessing the world. And again, that's 104 years ago. And I think how critical he is for this day. And then the vision changed. And only Lucia saw Our Lady of Sorrows with the mature Jesus next to her and blessing the people. And then that was followed by yet another vision, a third one of Our Lady of Mount Carmel holding the scapular. And all three of those are significant. And Sister Lucia, in interviews that would be done later in her life, talked about how the rosary and the scapular really are inseparable. Let's start with the first part of that vision, St. Joseph and the child Jesus. That's pretty significant. St. Joseph appeared in Knock and a few other places. That was a silent apparition. What's the significance of St. Joseph on October 13th? That's unlike Our Lady, who's appeared in all the other visions, St. Joseph accompanies her to this one.
Yeah, that's right. The Holy Family is part of this first vision before the miracle of the Son on October 13th. And I think we can link this to what Sister Lucia would tell Cardinal Caffara in the, I believe it was in the 90s or early 2000s. Yeah. Yeah. And, Sister Lucia said that the final battle would be over the family. And so what more appropriate, vision than having the Holy Family together? And just to show how important the family is as the fundamental unit of society, but it's also only within the family, you need to have, a strong Holy Family to have a strong holy society.
Yes,
we can't have healthy societies without healthy families.
I'm always struck by that interview that she did when Cardinal Caffara said that the final confrontation between our Lord and Satan will be over family and marriage. We see how marriage was redefined with that Obergefell decision, and we see the attack that's on the family today from the womb right up throughout the years. And I guess refuge should be taken in the Immaculate Heart, because that's what Our Lady says. She says God gives grace through the Immaculate Heart. She came as Our Lady of the Most Holy Rosary. And that really is an answer to prayer. I believe it was the rosary. I think it was the efforts of the Blue Army. I think it was that call to sacrifice and penance that helped bring about the end of atheistic communism as we know it. And Russia is a very different country right now. Can you clarify something for me? Because I'm wondering. She said, in the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. And she said that the triumph of Immaculate Heart will begin in Russia. Are you familiar with that statement? Because, Russia has really, there's a change going on in that country right now.
Yeah, there's certainly a lot of controversy over, you can talk about whether the consecration to Russia happened. Personally, I think that Our Lady asked specifically for Russia to be consecrated, and I don't believe that ever happened, certainly not in conjunction with all the bishops of the world. There's also some, you know, some uncertainty over Russia's role. And I do think that there are a lot of clear messages linked to Sister Lucia and to Fatima that once Russia is converted, that it will actually lead the way in converting the rest of the world.
Let's do this. Let's grab a call or two with you right now. Our number, 888-914-9149. I have a few moments for Terrence left here. Mike's listening in Southern California. He's got a question for you, Terrence. Hi, Mike.
Oh, hi. Hi. We love your show. And I'm just wondering, I know that Our Lady spoke of the errors of communism, and to me it's just phenomenal because she said the errors would spread around the world, and they have. I believe, obviously. Yeah. So my question is, at the time in 1917, how did people understand what communism was? Because that to me was a very, that was just a very advanced thing to say for Our Lady.
Yeah, well, thank you for that, Mike. Let me let him respond to that because we only have a few moments. At the time when the visions took place, Terrence, as you know, when Our Lady referred to Russia, and the kids thought that was a horse, they didn't, or somebody's donkey or mule or whatever it was. I remember they didn't know who Russia was, you know, at the time. They weren't even familiar with that, let alone a political ideology and form of oppression like communism. I'll let you respond to Mike.
Well, you know, in Russia, you had the very first atheistic communist government in the history of the world, and that started on the very day of the miracle of the sun. So no one could be expected to know what the errors of Russia were, certainly not shepherd children in Portugal. And that's just another aspect of how prophetic, you know, Our Lady was. And seeing that this date and this event of the October Revolution in Russia was going to be central to not just, you know, the next few decades, but in fact, it seems until the next era. You know, this is the dominant theme, not just geopolitically, but it seems like this is where our Lord and our Lady see the fight to be, is over the errors of Russia. And so, you know, we have to take that warning. And yes, you know, Our Lady said that if Russia was not consecrated to her Immaculate Heart, that in fact, every single country would become communist.
Yeah, that was a frightening warning on her part. Terrence, well, thank you for being here with me. I know you got to run. When I return, Dr. Mark Miravalli will join me. We'll continue this conversation. We'll also talk about Akita. We'll take a few more of your calls. You can get in 888-914-9149 today, reflecting back on the great miracle of the sun, the final apparition of the Fatima appearances 104 years ago today. Stay with me. The conversation continues. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
In 1973, in a Catholic convent in a small hamlet outside the city of Akita, Japan, Sister Agnes Sasagawa, in the Japanese chapel of the Eucharistic Handmaids of the Sacred Heart, experienced the first of many supernatural occurrences. When Sister Agnes opened the tabernacle for adoration in June of 1973, a very strong light came from it, filling the chapel. This occurred for 3 consecutive days, as well as on the Feast of Corpus Christi. On one of these occasions, she also saw angels worshiping the Holy Eucharist in a semicircle around the altar. On the vigil of the Feast of the Sacred Heart in June of 1973, Sister Sasagawa's guardian angel appeared to her while she was ill in a hospital. While there, the angel taught her the Fatima prayer to be said after each decade of the Rosary.
That was Ricardo Montalban, a little sound from an old documentary done back in in the 1990s called Marian Apparitions of the 20th Century. And in it, we take a look at the events that unfolded in Fatima, Portugal. And today we remember the final vision in which St. Joseph and the child Jesus and Our Lady appeared, which the great miracle of the sun took place, where 70,000 to 100,000 people, they estimate, witnessed this luminary phenomena, the solar phenomena, a heat event that had direct effect on the ground they stood on, the mud dried, the clothes dried, and yet no astronomical observatory noted any deviation. The Fatima story is an amazing one. Fast forward now to the 70s. What took place there, equally stunning. You have a nun who is totally deaf, very humble. She's in a hidden cloister. She begins to hear the Blessed Mother. She's totally deaf. And the voice seems to issue from a statue, and the statue suddenly sheds inexplicably tears. They had them tested. They found them to be human tears. They'd wept 101 times. Her name was Sister Agnes Sasagawa. And there were visitations of angels, attacks by the devil. There were all sorts of events that surrounded Our Lady. The apparitions were fashioned after a statue, very similar to what we see in Our Lady of All Nations, Our Lady of All Peoples in Amsterdam. The link and the ties between these apparitions, you have Fatima in 1917, Our Lady of All Nations in 1945, and then in 1973, you have the Mother of God. Our Lady talked about the world losing the respect for the Eucharist. You know, she added a word to a prayer that the congregation used to pray and say, Jesus, who is truly present in the Eucharist. And she gave a very frightening warning about the future. One of the predictions she gave was of a future chastisement. She says that there will be a punishment that will befall the human race greater than the deluge. It'll be one that has never been seen before. She said fire will fall from the sky. And she asked prayers for priests and for the Pope. She prophesied that she said, quote, the demon will be especially implacable against souls consecrated to God. That's why it's so important to pray for them. But she also said there'll be infiltration. And this is kind of an aspect of the message I often think about when I see division sometimes within the church. She says, one will see cardinal opposing cardinals, bishops against other bishops. And it mentioned that the devil would press many priests to leave God's service. But she said, if sin increased in number and gravity, there will be no longer pardon. So this is fascinating in light of the third secret of Fatima. You know, the prophecy showed a suffering pope, the image of an angel ready to torch the world. She said, fire will fall. Were Akita and Fatima, was the warning the same? Is there a link to them? I've invited a world-renowned Mariologist to join us this afternoon to give us perspective on it. It's a delight to have back with me, Dr. Mark Miravalli. Doctor, good to have you here with me. You and I have been doing this for a long time. In fact, when I was shooting that documentary, you were a part of that. I remember reaching out to you at one point for some insight on that. Happy feast day. I'd love your take both on Fatima and Akita and the significance of these events that have unfolded. Are they still relevant today?
Yeah, Drew, thank you. And as always, you give a wonderful historic and even apparitional background to the significance of today. Look, there can't be a coincidence of the fact that on October 13th of 1917, there was a great solar miracle. And I want to make a quick comment on that from a mutual friend whom we lost this year, Dr. Courtney Bartholomew. Now, Dr. Bartholomew was an internationally known scientist and medical researcher. In fact, he was one of the first doctors to discover AIDS in Trinidad.
I met him.
And he was a tremendous man and a very, very bright and loved Our Lady, wrote several books on Our Lady. But Drew, this was his perspective on the solar miracle. And I mention it because it does have the tie to both Amsterdam and Akita. And his take was, look, the sun is an ongoing hydrogen bomb. It's a massive hydrogen bomb. And when it came and lowered itself close to the people, they thought it was the end of the world. Many started confessing their sins aloud. And Dr. Bartholomew's interpretation was that it's about as good of a foreshadowing of a potential nuclear disaster, which of course is also a hydrogen bomb, right, as we could get. And so we needed to respond to Our Lady's message to pray the rosary daily to offset a nuclear disaster. Now, it's also interesting that in 1985, Sister Lucia said that had John Paul II not consecrated the world, inclusive of Russia, to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, that there would have been a nuclear war in that year, in 1985. Right. And so, but there can't be a coincidence between the solar miracle of Fatima and the message of Akita on October 13th, 1973. Now, let me just make a quick reference to the link, Drew, because it only makes sense through the reported apparitions of Amsterdam. So as the Vatican ambassador from the Philippines, Howard D., first told me, he said, look, from 1917 to 1945, there's 28 years. And that's 1945 is when the reported apparitions of Amsterdam began. And the apparitions of Amsterdam, you know, speak of the need for a dogma to avert a massive global catastrophe. Well, 28 years later in Akita, Japan, we get, again, a reference of something, as Our Lady said, and you summarized so well, greater than the deluge, greater than the flood, fire falling from the sky. So you can only understand Akita through the link of Amsterdam. Now, you again also mentioned that it was an image of the Lady of All Nations in Amsterdam, from Amsterdam, I should say, that was the statue that wept 101 times in Akita, Japan. And just for the clarity of our listeners, I want to say now, in December 30th of 2020, a new bishop came forward in Amsterdam, and previously Amsterdam had been a fully church-approved apparition. Well, the new bishop reiterated a 1974 decision, which said, no, we're not going to call it fully approved. It's not negated. You can pray the prayer, and you can have a prayer day, and you can use the image, but the rest is still going to be under investigation. Now, I mention that because if Akita is based on an image from Amsterdam, you know, the kind of that they rise and fall together, Drew. And it's also the link of saying Our Lady's truth, her roles must be proclaimed so that we can indeed avert what is really a very frightening prophecy. And I just want to say that Francis Fukushima was the secretary to Bishop Ito from Amsterdam. I think you Akita, excuse me. I think you right. mentioned that you had met Bishop Ito, Drew.
I did.
You told that documentary.
Yep.
Yeah. And so this message was read to Cardinal Ratzinger and approved by Cardinal Ratzinger of the CDF before it was released. So it's a strong message. Cardinal versus cardinal, bishop versus bishop, fire falling from the sky. And so I think the ultimate call to is, how do we properly respond? Well, I think, first of all, we do what Our Lady's asked, both at Fatima and Amsterdam and Akita, and that is to pray the rosary, perhaps to pray it more generously, perhaps to return to praying the rosary. I think we have to have a peaceful urgency, Drew, and both of those things. We've got to keep our peace. Our Lady doesn't give us a message to scare us or frighten us, but she does give us a message to impel us to be more generous by the rosary. And the other thing Our Lady of Akita said was, the only weapons for you, the arms, are the rosary and the sign left by my son. Now, there's two possibilities of what that sign is. One is the Eucharist, which is the greatest sign, of course, of Jesus, his true presence. The other is a possible permanent sign, which some of the other apparitions have talked about, a sign to help faith. But in either case, Drew, I think it calls us to conversion, perhaps with a new generosity, because Our Lady gave this message to help us to convert. And it's not like the world is any less offending God mm-hmm. now than it was in 1917 or 1973. It's a real call to be generous and to respond to the prayer and sacramental life of the church, and especially to the rosary.
And to that point about that sign, a lot of people are going to wait to the sign. She says, don't wait, because then it will be too late. We need to amend our lives today. We don't know the day or the hour God's going to call us. Let's grab a few phone calls. A lot of people very patiently waiting to get on board. If you want to get in, 888-914-9149. Teresa is listening in Philadelphia. Teresa, good afternoon. You're on the air with Dr. Mirabali.
Hi, Dr. Andrew. Just two questions. I wanted to see if Dr. Mirabali thought it was significant that the apparition in Akita occurred on the very same year that abortion was legalized in the United States. Mm-hmm. And it seems like that some of the chastisements that were mentioned really have to do with that sin in particular. And also, I wanted to see if Dr. Mirabali had heard that back in 2019, right before the pandemic hit globally, after years of radio silence, I mean, Sister Sasagawa was very much a private person, but came out and said that her guardian angel had appeared to her again right before the pandemic hit and said, quote, cover in ashes and please pray the penitential rosary every day, almost like a warning of what was to come. So to me, I tie all this in with the sin of abortion and the fact that our just punishment is coming.
Yeah, Teresa,
thank you very much, Teresa.
Sorry, Drew. Yeah. So to the first point, yes, I truly believe, and the mystical tradition has repeated this several times, that the single sin that calls down the greatest justice of God versus the mercy of God is the sin of abortion. So, and in fact, what happens in America goes worldwide. And so, and now, of course, we are beyond even the most liberal abortion laws of Western Europe, of which we had some minor pride in saying, or at least is not as liberal in terms of abortion as Western Europe. But well, now we're going to unlimited. So if I think that's very significant. And then also Sister Sasagawa, again, calling us to pray the penitential rosary. Well, the whole call is a call of reparation. And we have to remember, reparation is the Christian's ability to actually console the heart of God, or in light of Fatima, to console the heart of Our Lady, in virtue of our sins and the sins of humanity, and also co-redemption, which is the prayer to pray for the salvation of our brothers and sisters. It's also interesting, you mentioned, Teresa, Sister Agnes's guardian angel, that before her first experience of our Blessed Mother in the chapel of Akita, her guardian angel taught her the first part of the prayer of the Lady of All Nations. So it's an undeniable link, even though, of course, we completely obey the present status regarding Amsterdam. Surely heaven would not start a false true apparition like Akita based on a false apparition's image, which is the image of Amsterdam. So, yes, they're all connected. And, yes, I think it's absolutely, in a frightening way, connected with the sin of abortion.
When we come back, we should talk about it. It's kind of a Nineveh moment, you know, where the people are told to do penance and to amend their life. When Sister Agnes Sasagawa, after decades of silence, receives another message saying, cover in ashes and pray the penitential rosary every day. It's that critical moment, I think, for the human race. I think the sin of abortion calls for chastisement. It calls for the justice of God. But I believe prayer, especially prayer of the rosary, will help to mitigate and hold back that hand. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
I ended up falling into the wrong crowd.
Have you been away from the faith for a long time?
I've started listening to Relevant Radio.
You're welcome here.
I believe God is forming you.
The Drew Mariani Show is live and here for you now.
God can use you wherever you are.
On Relevant Radio.
Stumbling across the channels and found this one. All I decided to call.
It's like the prize, sunrise, waiting on the other side of the darkest.
I did not grow up with a denomination, but as I got older, I really gravitated towards something about the tradition. And I'm not exactly sure what it is, but it draws me.
Well, it is good to be with you today. Thank you for allowing me to be part of your afternoon and to take a look at life through the eyes of faith and explore some of the most amazing events of the 20th century, spiritual events that are resonant, I believe, today for you and for me. The call to prayer, the call to penance, the call to amend our life. The 20th century is an amazing century, not only for the evil and the horrors that unfolded in it, but for the divine thread that ran through it. And you could see this unbelievable flurry of apparitions that have taken place from 1917 across the decades, 1945 in Amsterdam, 73 in Akita, and even in our own day, places like Kibeho, Rwanda, where the Virgin foretold of the consequence of sin and asked for prayer and penance as well. She talked of a bloody future for that country. True to her prophecy, it came true. And around the world, in every habitable continent, come reports of the Mother of God with this urgent message to pray, to amend your life, and to return to God. That's a message for you personally. It's a message for me personally. I'm invited by somebody who knows this intimately. Dr. Mark Miravalli is here. We'll take a few of your calls. Have a few moments left. And Doctor, it's a delight to have you here with us. I know we're talking a little bit about Akita. We're talking about Sister Agnes's latest message. I want to jump back to Fatima just for a quick moment, if we could. We had this third, this great miracle, the sun event that took place. During those apparitions, the Blessed Mother, during those apparitions, Saint Joseph appeared. And this is a month dedicated to him. I know you've written a book on him. He came carrying the child Jesus. He was dressed in red. Both were dressed in red. Both were blessing the world. And then we know these visions often changed, you know, where Lucia saw Our Lady of Sorrows, and another vision was of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. I love your take on the significance of that apparition that we celebrate today. It's been 104 years. You know, that was the beginning of a century of war. And Our Lady told the seers that war was a punishment for sin. And I wonder where we are right now. And again, the major theme out of Fatima is the rosary and penance, how important penance is for people to amend their lives. Because if we don't do that, then we're going to face the just punishment that's due us. But I'd love your perspective. Then we'll grab a few calls.
Yeah, surely, Drew. You know, thanks be to God that our Holy Father, under a real inspiration, has declared a year of St. Joseph, because I think that first image, the first vision after, you know, Our Lady literally says, stop offending God. He is already much offended. And then she ascends, if you will. And then that first image is St. Joseph and the child Jesus, who simultaneously blessed the world. Now, I think it's very clear, Drew, we're not going to have the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, which he promises to Fatima, without the due intercession of St. Joseph. Why? Because he's the patron of the universal church. And that's why it's so important that we pray to St. Joseph for the church and the world, for our Holy Father, for whom he is a special patron, and also for the fulfillment of the Fatima message. Well, then the next slide, so to speak, the next image is Our Lady of Sorrows. That's the devotional image of Our Lady, the co-redemptrix. And that's why, again, you can't disconnect Fatima from Amsterdam to Akita. It's that same message of Mary's co-redemptrix and the call to make reparation for the sins of humanity. The last image there, Drew, Our Lady of Mount Carmel, many authors think that the first is the joyful mysteries, right, the Holy Family. The second is the sorrowful mysteries indicated by Our Lady of the Sorrows, the co-redemptrix. And the third image is the glorious mysteries, because the scapular has a promise of salvation. Now, all of that leads to our present moment. I don't think anyone could honestly say we're offending God less now than we were 104 years ago. And that's why I think Sister Agnes, through her guardian angel, is calling us to do penance. Now, think of it this way, Drew. If there's a family, and let's say just one or two members of the family hear this message, well, they gotta pray for the whole family. Well, we are also called to pray for the entire human family. How many people are responding to the messages of Fatima and Amsterdam and Akita? So we have a due diligence and really a double responsibility to pick up our beads, perhaps now more than ever before, and to pray the prayer of the Lady of All Nations, which has been approved again, because we can still mitigate. And mitigate means a lot. Mitigate means to lessen in a major way.
Why don't we do this? Why don't we pray that prayer right now for our country and for the world? And then we'll take a few phone calls. I believe so powerfully in the importance of prayer, and I often pray that our country is protected from degeneration, disaster, and war. You know, I have concerns about what we're seeing in China, Kim Jong-un, Iran, you know, North Korea. You talk about Russia. Let's pray that right now, just for our own country with everybody here, and then we'll take a few phone calls, Doc.
Absolutely. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
amen.
Lord Jesus Christ,
Son of the Father, send now your Spirit over the earth. Let the Holy Spirit live in the hearts of all nations, that they may be preserved from degeneration, disasters, and war. May the Lady of all nations, the Blessed Virgin Mary, be our advocate. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Drew, if people want free prayer cards, we're happy to send them out. They can email us at mary@motherofallpeoples.com. And we have them in English and Spanish. We send them out free all over the world. So if you want that prayer, and I agree, it is a powerful, powerful prayer, more timely now than perhaps ever before to prevent the degeneration, disaster, war that's making up our headlines.
All right. So Mary, give me the address one more time, Doc.
Sure. Mary@motherofallpeoples, plural, .com. Mary@motherofallpeoples.com. People just want to call, they can call 740-937-2277. Leave a name and address, how many prayer cards they want. They'll get them within a week. But it is time we pray with a new diligence.
Let me go to the phones, but that number I know people are going to be asking. I didn't jot it down.
740-937-2277.
All right, good. I hope you got that. If not, I'm sure Maggie jotted it down. I hope she did. Peter in Santa Monica, California. You've been waiting for a while. Good afternoon, sir.
Oh, yes. Thank you for letting me speak here. A couple of things I was going to say with the when Mother Mary appeared in Fatima, there were a tremendous amount of miraculous healings and miraculous conversions, too. Maybe comment on that. And the other thing I was going to mention was I have a couple of friends that know some people in Russia who live there, and they say that since communism fell in Russia, there's about 30 or 35,000 new churches that have been built, and people are really going to church a lot in Russia. So hopefully the American people who are spiritual and the Russian people can maybe unite in harmony and in unity somehow to help there be bridged peace on the earth that way.
Peter, thank you. Let me hold you on the point, because I went to the doctor to respond to this particular aspect. And two things here, doctor. Peter brings up a great point. 30,000 new churches in Russia. I had a person in Maine that was listening to me the other day, and he wrote to me, and I wrote back to him. He says, look, alcohol consumption, vodka consumption by the youth, it greatly diminished since in recent years, because there used to be a big problem there. Christianity is beginning to spread. We're also seeing, there's a certain defense against the redefinition of marriage and some of the other gender ideology stuff that we see here in our culture being championed. Did Our Lady once say that the conversion of Russia, or not the conversion, that the triumph of the Immaculate Heart will begin in Russia? And what do you see happening? Because some people say, oh, Russia was never consecrated. I would say Sister Lucia said it was. John Paul said it was. It wasn't done exactly as Our Lady wanted, but it was accepted by heaven, Lucia said. What are we seeing in Russia? Is their conversion coming about?
Yeah, Drew, it's a great point. And to confirm your statement on the consecration of Russia was done. How do we know? Sister Lucia said it 7 times. John Paul II said it 5 times. If we don't believe the Pope of Fatima and the visionary of Fatima, then who do we believe? Certainly not our own opinion. And yes, I think there are true first fruits, a budding that's happening in Russia. Now, it's not by any means completed. The average woman has had between 3 and 7 abortions in Russia. So the process has to continue. But look, to have a triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, it means our hearts are going to be united. If our hearts are consecrated to the Mother's Heart, she will unite us, not through UN efforts, not through political means, although I'm not a pacifist in that regard, but I'm a realist. It's going to come from Our Lady. And so it's got to be consecration to the Mother. She will unite hearts, and that will be ultimately what the triumph will be, which eventually will lead to an era of peace.
I love it. Doctor, always a delight spending time with you. I've got to leave it there. I'm out of time for the day. Thank you for what you do. Until our paths again cross, please pray for me. I need your prayers. I'll be praying for you. God bless you. Have a great day.